Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How's it going over there?
Hey.
You're over in California today.
Yeah.
You're here.
I'm here.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm sitting here in downtown Chico, California, and just enjoying it, man. It's going to be 103 here today, so enjoying the pre-afternoon coolness. For sure. So, glad
wow,
to be back.
That's a,
really
that's, so this
to
is
be
a good, still a good time of year there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know you're in Las Vegas, eh?
Yeah, I'm not in Hawaii this week. I'm over in Nevada. Yeah, and that's a big switch. We've got temperatures 100, 110, 115, but it doesn't feel like it. It's not the same as if you had that in Chico or Hawaii or it's drier. It's more doable. I think a lot of people do things later in the evening, but it hasn't been too bad. It's not too bad. I heard June was one of the hottest records on monthish. June was one of the hottest months on record this year. I heard.
Wow.
But I wasn't here then, so I missed it. So it waited for, and then it got nice. Yeah.
Where is it? I mean, you're pretty familiar with cities, of course. You know, you're well traveled, and obviously with Realty Universal in touch with, I guess, cities and their culture. What would you say is the hottest glee on average in a summer? Is it Nevada? Is it Arizona? Would you think? I mean, I know Arizona gets pretty hot too. Lower like Palm Springs, I think it's pretty hot.
I think any of the desert states get pretty hot. But it's not that. I mean, here I was surprised it's not as hot as I expected now. So, yeah, I'm not. I try to, as much as possible, go when it's good weather to places if possible. But, But the interesting thing about the deserts, I think, is that people don't realize it's so hot in the day and then cooler at night. So you have people that will go up into the mountains, thinking they're going to hang out and camp out all night and then end up in frigid temperatures in some places. So it's definitely different. It's definitely a different climate than, like, in Hawaii. We're used to pretty much the same thing all year. It rains more in the winter. And then, like, where you are, I think you're Northern California, right? So you don't get – it gets cooler up there than it does for Southern. Yeah, but I don't know. I guess we'd have to ask a weather person for that, huh? For of it. But I think, but I think for me, I like the East Coast gets the true on the United States gets all those seasons, and then the summers can get really hot. But what's funny though, when I hear people talking everywhere, even out of the country and other areas, the weather patterns have just changed dramatically everywhere. Like it was never this hot, it was never this cold. I'm hearing that amongst everyone. So I think.
Yep.
Mother Nature's always a big step ahead of us, right? So
California's in the middle of this big drought, and I mean terrible drought. I mean, and I understand there, and I don't know how they do this, but they have all these meteorologists, diagnostic ways to see weather a few months down the road. Supposedly this winter, like December, January, Northern California is supposed to, El Nino is supposed to just
really?
Bury us. Yeah, we're supposed to just get drenched for a couple of months, which would be
that
a
would
godsend.
Be heaven. That would be heaven.
Yeah,
you're north. How far? Because Chico is what? How far away are you from San
Francisco?
We're right
in the middle. We're about an hour and a half north of Sacramento. So we're right smack dab in the middle of the state, really. Northern, you know, part of the state, anyway. And
okay.
Yeah, about an hour and a half north of Sacramento. We're about 3 hours east of San Francisco, almost on a line. So, yeah.
I met somebody who has a farm north of San Francisco when I was at the convention in New Orleans in November, and she said she was talking about the droughts and how for 3 years it has just been horrendous for farmers. So that would be wonderful if you guys get all that rain. Do you have major water restrictions going on, I guess, in your areas?
Yep, we do now. Absolutely. I mean, in fact, everybody is pretty much what they've done is not necessarily given us water restrictions per se, but they've let us know that if you go above a certain, you know, amount, you know, you will be it exponentially not fined, but rates go exponentially up. And so most folks here have said, you know what, forget it. We're just, you know, it's a yellow lawn. That's what it is. And everybody on our street, yellow lawns, not watering.
Wow.
Not watering.
So you're not getting,
weird.
I wonder if they, you know how they use the water catchment systems in Hawaii on the Big Island and, for example, like on the Hilo, southern Hilo side. I wonder if it would be worth it, but you're getting such little rain, I guess, to save some of that, or does it evaporate? You know, I guess they have to come up with some different ways to reuse the water. It's really, really can be, So our guest today, I'll let you tell about our guest today. I'm really excited.
Oh yeah. Well, again, the theme today is giving back, and I know Natalie, you and I, you know, talked about this for many years that. The reason why we do what we do is to give back, and that includes making money and making lots of money. We can give back, and there are other creative ways to do that: strategic partnerships, creative promotions, and I'm a radio promotions guy, so I mean that's kind of my deal. So when I met Debbie LaPlante Mosley, we kind of clicked immediately because she's all about putting together, you know, she's a connector. And she's put together a lot of people over a decade or so here in Northern California and put together an event called the Chocolate Fest, which is the website is chocolatefest.us. And you can go there and see exactly what I'm talking about. But she has really brought together, it's just amazing, all of the people in the community for this very fun event with the purpose of raising money for youth organizations in Paradise, you know, Paradise, California. So, Debbie, is Debbie on the line?
Yes, Debbie, we want to welcome you. Hey.
Well, thank you, Natalie, and hello, Randy. Nice to talk with you both.
Thank you for
coming on
today. We're looking forward to this.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, so Debbie, let's dive into some of the logistics, and we'll see. You know, this will kind of maybe spring some other ideas for people. That's kind of our hope, is to kind of get the creative juices flowing on how people can give back to their communities and make a difference. And, you know, I know, like I said, Natalie and I talk about this a lot and how do we do this. And absolutely, you know, a couple weeks ago we had on our buddy Mike Taylor from Hidden Hunger Global, and he's passionate about Africa and a brilliant idea of how to a for-profit company that sells child-saving products and donates them to the organizations that are on the ground in Africa. So doing, but and that's beautiful and that's awesome, and you know, and I know we're all concerned about the global issues, but I think sometimes we get so kind of looking out there, we forget about our local neighborhoods and our youth organizations and people, you know, right where we live. And I know you guys with the Chocolate Fest, it's been this amazing journey of, you know, refining. And so I guess first what I'd like you to do is kind of give the audience an overview of what the Chocolate Fest is, and then we can kind of circle back and talk about some of the journey, some of the things you guys have learned, some of the wins and really exciting things and youth organizations that you guys benefit. But I guess let's start off with, you know, giving us an overview of what the Chocolate Fest is in Paradise.
Well, I like to say that all roads to paradise are paved in chocolate, but especially during that time of year. The Paradise Chocolate Fest is a very family-friendly series of events. We actually put on 5 major events over 2 weekends, and it's all chocolate-related and very family-friendly, but also something for everyone. That's why we have 5 different events, all chocolate-related, part of the Paradise Chocolate Fest under one big umbrella, to bring people together to have a lot of fun and raise money. And then all of that money goes back to youth organizations on the Paradise Ridge. Randy, as you know, you were able to attend the Paradise Chocolate Fest this year, the actual festival day, and that starts out with a chocolate chase fun run walk. We have the chocolate pancake breakfast, chocolate cuisine challenge. You were a judge at the Chocolate Cuisine Challenge this year.
Yes, I was.
It's just a lot of fun. We have Chocolate Candyland, where we have chocolatiers from all over the western United States come together under a huge roof to sell everything chocolate. It's like walking into Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory when you come to the Paradise Chocolate Fest, Chocolate Candyland. But there's something for all ages at that event. And it's a very nominal fee. It's $5 general admission and free for children to attend, and lots of free chocolate samples and arts and craft vendors and just great music in the park. It's a real regional event. It's great. And then we have our evening of wine and chocolate and Paradise Tour to Chocolate Bike Ride and Chocolate Thunder Motorcycle Run.
I was blown away when I was at the event by, again, the wide range of events, even within that day.
Yeah.
So, you know, you had the kids doing the, you know, there was, the, not necessarily kids, I don't think. I forgot if there was an age limit but, or there were groups or heats, but there was the pie eating contest.
Chocolate pie eating contest. That's always a huge favorite. You know, who can eat the chocolate cream pie the fastest? And we have several heats of that. You know, and chocolate ice cream eating contests and cookie stacking contests, and all ages participate. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a real healthy environment and a lot of fun. And we also, something we're proud of at the Chocolate Fest is we have outdoor learning stations. So not only are we having a lot of fun with chocolate and art and music, but we have an environmental outdoor learning station, and we have textile fiber artists out there demonstrating and teaching skills on how to paint or how to weave yarn. I mean, just a real wide range of opportunities for folks to come and just have a great day learning and enjoying.
I was going to say, how did it start out? Tell us how that started out, like how the you started out putting that together.
It actually started in 2006. Paradise is a small community in the northern Sierra Nevada foothills. That is a beautiful, beautiful community surrounded by pine trees. But, you know, they are in an impoverished area. There's a lot of unemployment in that area and great people, but, you know, the financial constraints of the economy is such as it is. There was a need for raising money for the local Boys and Girls Club. And so in 2006, the owners of Joyland's Candies, which is a local chocolatier, decided to create a chocolate festival to benefit the Boys and Girls Club. And for the first 4 years, it was all the money raised go back to that local Boys and Girls Club. And it was lots and lots of money that went back, but also lots and lots of staff time by the Boys and Girls Club was put into that event, more so than what they really could allow for. You know, their business is to take good care of kids, and it's one of the top-notch youth organizations in the world, quite frankly. But their job isn't to put on a huge chocolate festival every year. It's to put to take good care of children. So, and I had been with the Boys and Girls Club as development director and a board member. And after the first 4 years, Boys and Girls Club determined it was just too much for them to continue, and so they turned it back to the community volunteers that had actually started the Chocolate Fest and said, you know, this either has to get smaller or it has to go away. It's just, it's, as great as it is, it's too much for us to handle. And community members really rallied and said, no, we want the Chocolate Fest to continue. Not only is it good for our youth on the Ridge, but it's great for the community. So they asked me to... I actually left my position at the Boys and Girls Club and became executive director of Paradise Chocolate Fest Incorporated, which
wow.
is now expanded to be Youth on the Ridge Community Foundation. And my what I said to them is, yes, of course, I'll come on board, but the only if the Chocolate Fest benefits as many youth as possible. So it has to go beyond the Boys and Girls Club, continue to support the Boys and Girls Club, but it also has to support as many youth organizations as possible on the Paradise Ridge. So organizations that provide educational, enrichment, recreation, or leadership opportunities to youth on the Paradise Ridge qualify to be a beneficiary each year. And funny thing is, Randy, last night was our awards celebration, and we each year distribute over $20,000 back to youth organizations on the Paradise Ridge, and last night 23 organizations benefited from the Chocolate Fest.
Mm. Congratulations. It's mm. wonderful.
Very cool. And again, as I, you know, as you said, I got to kind of watch firsthand and, you know, there that, at least that day of the actual event,
mm-hmm.
and as you said, there are other events surrounding it over a couple of weeks, but even on that day, you guys just, you maximized like so much in so many parts of the community for that day. And what I mean by that is, you know, you, this is brilliant too. You have a king and a queen of the Chocolate Fest.
We
do. They spend their time prior to the event raising funds as well, right?
Yes. You know, we kick off our king and queen contest every year the 1st of February, actually, with our Eat Dessert First, which is right before Valentine's Day. And the candidates are local community members, typically business leaders, but just community members that have a heart for kids and share our vision of benefiting kids on the Ridge. And they design a chocolate-themed hat, and then they've been known to wear their hats to church even, letting people know that they are a king or queen candidate representing, you know, raising money for the Chocolate Fest. Every dollar they raise between February and May is a vote for them to be named king or queen of the fest. And a couple of years ago, we had a 98-year-old woman run for Chocolate Fest queen, and she lost. And so she said, you know, I don't think I have the energy to do it again next year. But when I'm 100, I'll do it again. And she did, and was named Chocolate Fest Queen by raising the most votes. But we have, you know, this year we had a town council member, the former city manager. We have realtors, bankers, you know, just people throughout the community that come together every year as king and queen candidates. And it's not so much about winning as it is rallying together to raise as much money as they can throughout the community during that time period. And then it goes to the Chocolate Fest and to all those youth organizations will benefit, at, you know, as we did last night. So it's
That's
a
fantastic.
Lot of fun.
How do you, and so how do they pick out the who it's going to, or is it just, is it going to elementary schools or different organizations, or?
We invite any youth organization that's a qualified nonprofit charitable organization on the Paradise Ridge to apply. And we haven't set a maximum yet. Each year mm-hmm. it's around 20 groups. This year 23 groups benefited. And
wow.
it's everything from Boys and Girls Club to Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Northern California Ballet, Achieve Charter School, Strings in School. So it's benefiting a huge cross-section of youth organizations that, and many of them, you know, they're buying, once they earn their money through the Chocolate Fest, they're providing scholarships for dance classes or swimming lessons or buying new computers, or the band 2 years ago, the Paradise High School Marching Band, was able to buy new band uniforms from the monies they
wow.
raised at the Chocolate Fest. And the great news is not only do they get money from us as a beneficiary, but we also give them the opportunity to raise money in their own booth at the Chocolate Fest, too. So we pay all of the infrastructure for them to participate, and then they get creative and sell whoopie pies or a dunk tank or whatever at the Chocolate Fest and raise thousands more dollars, too, during that day.
Wow, what wonderful leadership you're teaching them, you know, all the way around.
It's terrific. And you know what, Natalie, it's interesting you would say that because part of the ways that they earn money at the Chocolate Fest is through volunteer equity. So that's certainly not a model that we made up, but it's been a very, very great model because every organization provides volunteers to sell soda pops or tickets at the gate or help in any number of ways at the Chocolate Fest. And they are paid back through their volunteer hours. So if their board of directors or their parents or their membership, they come out and sign up to volunteer. And then we were able to pay out this year $9 per volunteer hour to each of those organizations.
Really?
Which is just great. And as a community member, you may say, you know, I grew up playing the flute, but I also have a heart for people who need food. So you could split your hours between the local food bank and the high school marching band. And so it's a really good feeling for those volunteers that are coming out. The kids are volunteering themselves, and so they're learning leadership skills and working together, you know, to the common good. And then they see the results of their rewards because all of a sudden they've got new band uniforms or new computers or violins for their strings in school lessons. So it's
they get how it works. I mean,
very positive.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Wow, very cool. Debbie LaPlante Mosley is our guest and, again, executive director of the Chocolate Fest. The website is chocolatefest.us. So go there, check it out if you're listening now or later on demand.
Deborah, are you okay if we keep going, Deb, without taking a commercial? Are you good with that?
Sure.
If we just
I'm fine.
Oh, awesome, because it's such a privilege to have you on today. And when you go in and you do what you've done, I mean, that takes such discipline and knowledge. And to be able to be the director and be able to say, hey, okay, I'll do this, but I love how you said you would do it, but only if we're going to benefit, you know, more, right, and keep it going.
Exactly.
And, so how do you do that with you take it and you say, okay, is it like taking a blueprint and saying, okay, I've done this before. I know how we can set this up to make this really, really blossom as you did. Can you give us a little bit of that insight? A lot of our listeners, we have listeners from all over. So some are going to be agents and brokers, sellers, buyers, you know, because, of course, we're in the real estate industry. But a lot of people, you know, need to be independent and leaders. And so tell us a little bit about how you took that on and how you had the knowledge to say, okay, this is what we do to set this up.
Well, Natalie, as you know, in the business world, from day to day, whether it's selling real estate or as a small business owner in a retail environment, you have to have good organizational skills in order to be successful. You also need to have or sharpen your skills of working with people and communications. And that's all it takes. Those key elements that you put into your day-to-day business world, and then put it into the passion of giving back to your community, whether it's through, you know, your local Rotary Club or Exchange Club or whatever organization you're involved in, or creating your own, like the Paradise Chocolate Fest. You know, just taking all of those skills that we know as business leaders and then putting them together, and also surrounding yourself with very creative people. You know, someone recently said, you know, what about a bike ride? Let's do a bike ride for the Chocolate Fest. And overnight, Paradise Tour de Chocolate was invented.
Wow.
Nights getting creative about things like that. But just how can we do more? How can we benefit those kids on the ridge more and have a great time doing it and building our relationships? And, you know, those are the same skills that I put in throughout my long and very, very varied career as a business person, too.
That's fantastic. That's this one. And you've been in the Rotary, right, also, too? So did you bring some of that into it, or just looking at more networking?
Yeah, a lot of networking. And, you know, one of the premises of Rotary is service above self or uniting for the common good. And certainly through the Chocolate Fest, it is a people are uniting together for the common good. You know, even people that are not, don't have children or aren't involved directly with those children on the ridge, they're coming together to make a lasting impact on that community and working together for the common good of not only those kids organizations on the ridge, but certainly their community. The Chocolate Fest has been designated as one of the top food festivals in the state of California. We're very excited.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We're being featured at Cal Expo, the California State Fair, this next couple of weeks as one of the top food festivals. And that's honestly because it's a fun event, but also because we're bringing so many people together for the common good.
And Rotary
is all about that too. So.
You make it where everybody just joins, and it's easy to join in. But you probably make it look a lot easier than it really is, because I don't know how do you get all the volunteers to get in and set it up to keep track of everything, to keep it kind of who's going to call everybody, who's going to ask to invite this one in, who's going to how do you do it? You just
committees,
yeah,
right?
That's a lot of work.
Committees,
very big.
Committees, and I'm the only paid staff person on this particular organization. So we're truly working on it year-round and, you know, also keep our fingers busy in other pots. But, you know, it's just when you – and it's just like – I'm going to go back to real estate again because my dad was involved in real estate. If you have a passion for what you do, you put more energy into it and you're more effective with your energy spent. And you can be a top-notch salesperson because you've got the energy behind it, just like putting on a successful fundraising event.
Right. But and then getting the rest of the people, though, that's to me the big key, where how do you get everybody else there? That's a toughie to me because you hear that with a lot of volunteer organizations. They say, well, to keep our volunteers is tough because they're volunteering and then other things come up, or, you know. So,
appreciation, lots of pats on the back because we certainly don't give them money. You know, their time is worth money because it's giving back to those organizations. But just, I think, being genuine and letting people know that it truly is from the heart and making a fun environment at the same time, you know, try keeping things as positive as possible even when things, you know, get a little down to crunch time and you're working like crazy to get something done. And I've always been a proponent, whether it's in a fundraising capacity or otherwise, that certainly from top to bottom, everybody pitches in. There's not, you know, if things need to be swept, everybody grabs a broom kind of atmosphere. I think that's important too.
Wow.
So that's...
Randy was mentioning, hey, Randy, you were talking a little bit about Maui. You both have connections with Maui and California.
We all three have a love of the island.
Oh, Hawaii's, for years.
and I know when I met Debbie, we were talking about being involved with the Chocolate Fest this year. Maui came up in the conversation, and she's a Maui lover and visitor, and I am as well. And who knows what might happen over there. But
You know, they do grow chocolate beans on the island of Maui, so
you know what I'm saying. Yes, sugar for sure, lots of sugar over there.
There could be like a Maui surf chocolate surf fest too, like Maui chocolate surf, have the chocolate
Natalie, don't get me started. I've worked extensively in the surf industry, so
really,
some of my best.
That's perfect. Perfect.
Hey, Debbie, talk about that a little bit because you're from SoCal. There's a tie in there, and I think Natalie's onto something. But talk about your involvement with the surf industry there in SoCal.
Well, I was very, very fortunate because, quite frankly, I landed in Southern California because of Hawaii. When I was a senior in high school, it was my first visit to the islands, and I kept going back every year during my summer vacations throughout college and just became passionate about Hawaii and all of its islands and the culture. And so after college here in Northern California, I moved to Newport Beach, which is in Orange County, Southern California. Great fortune to be extensively involved in the surf industry in a variety of projects. I went to work in development and production of private label sportswear and working with some of the major companies like Town & Country and Locomotion, both based in Hawaii, and Quiksilver and Fila and many, many others. And it was just a lot of fun. But I also got through that industry, got to work on a lot of special projects and special events that raised money for Surf Rider Foundation and Surf Industry Manufacturers Association and others. And then that surf industry was so amazing because as I continued to work with other organizations like City of Hope Hospital or Major League Baseball Players Professional Alumni Association and different organizations that raise money for great causes, every time I would call the surf industry leaders, they would rally and come together and help to put on a huge fundraising event to go back to City of Hope Hospital or to go back to another community charity that really needed the money. And they helped to, you know, shine a spotlight and raise a lot of money. The surf industry, as you know, Natalie, is a very giving, full of life, energetic community members. I mean, they're just amazing, but worldwide.
Yeah. You get into the land. You really get into the land.
Yeah.
And the life and the
all about that. You're absolutely right. And they never say no. There's nothing that they can't do if they decide to tackle it. That's just the mindset of that, you know, that sport and that industry.
Wow.
It's never way too
You know,
high.
You have so many people though that go from California to Hawaii and back and forth. You know, because it's so crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I could see that doing very well, actually. You know, in a way that, wow. Give back.
There's so many food for thought.
Well, you know, I have my son's older. He's 36. Of course, I'm not in, and I don't have any grandchildren yet or anything. So, but I'm not the. It's amazing because the kids, you know, most of the schools, the public schools, you know, you always see them raising money. They have to do fundraisers. Seems to be more and more than even years ago, you know, where, and I've talked to a lot of parents over the years, and they're always having to spend so much money for this, for the children in the public schools, you know, because if there isn't enough money brought in on the fundraising, you know, because it's just gotten so much more expensive. So this is just this is fantastic. What a perfect fit all the way around.
Tremendous budget cuts. Absolutely, you know, and I use the high school marching band as an example, but a lot of our smaller organizations, last night's money that we were able to distribute, the local elementary school chorus is alive because we gave them enough money yesterday to pay part of a teacher's salary for the next year.
Wow.
And so that's keeping that music program, you know, the choral program alive in that local elementary school. So it's just there's
that's
so much
huge.
Opportunity.
That's huge.
Hey, does that, Debbie, does that, on the website now that you've given the awards, does it kind of break down kind of some of the organizations? Yeah.
We haven't posted that yet on our website.
Okay.
Randy, you're going to have to talk to our web guru, who you happen to know pretty well.
Okay.
But anyway, that will be posted very soon. It does list on there on our website what organizations benefited this year from the Chocolate Fest, and I mentioned 23 benefited. We have 20 listed, and then last night we gave additional grant awards to three other additional organizations. So
cool.
We would love to double, triple, quadruple our efforts every year, and we're working towards that. But we know that, you know, every year we're giving out over $20,000, and it's making a huge impact on that community.
Yeah, and you, you know, even though we say Paradise and it benefits the Paradise kids, I know for a fact as well that this is becoming more and more a regional event, right? People in Chico.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And that, like I say, with Cal Expo identifying the Chocolate Fest as one of the top festivals, it's not because we have the very best of the best of ever anything, but it's because of the whole package of what we're doing for that region, Northern California region, bringing people from all over to this region to attend the Chocolate Fest. Our local hotels are sold out because of the Chocolate Fest. People come from far and wide because they know it's going to be a lot of fun, and it benefits the business community as well as those youth organizations.
Wow.
That makes such a difference. Making it fun and getting every, just you're hitting it on so many levels.
Exactly.
That's what we have
yeah.
to do. We've got to figure out how to throw more fun into all of our industries. We must
That's
do
exactly
that.
That's exactly right. You know, there are so many organizations, you know, businesses, corporations that are determining that giving back isn't just because that's something that they feel like they should do, but they know that it's good for their business. You know, the corporate social responsibility, not only enhancing their reputation, but strengthening their brands, and they're having a good time doing it, and their employee morale goes up, and production goes up, and everybody benefits from something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it goes to that thing of giving, right, and the idea of giving and as a lifestyle. Generosity
yeah.
is a lifestyle, which we don't have time to dive into, but it really is at the, I think, at the basis of what you just said, where corporations, get it that they benefit by being givers.
Yeah.
You know, and Natalie, we've had on.
But it feels,
you know,
but it feels
Bob
so good too, right? It feels good when they connect and you're making a difference, or it's that you know how we do that motivational, just to tell someone you can do it, you can make it happen, you can do this, and I see, you know, the children getting involved in this. You know, you don't know what their lives are like at home or what their situations are. You know, when they get involved, oh wow, you know.
You have no idea. I mean, you are hitting the nail on the head, Natalie, by saying that, because we have children involved that are living in group homes, and this is an opportunity for them to come out and work together and see that not only are adults doing something to benefit them, which they've seen a lot in their lives, but they themselves are making a difference in their own life, and that just gives them such a great feeling of accomplishment.
What a foundation, right? What a great foundation to learn early that they may not have thought about. Because, you know, it's just, that's fantastic. That's really, gosh, I just love it. But it does. It makes your heart feel good, and it just, it works.
So
and
good.
It just, you see that it does it, yeah.
The sense of pride.
Yeah.
And then they're marching in the local parade wearing those brand new band uniforms and knowing that because they all came out together to help, you know, at the Chocolate Fest, that they're able to wear those new uniforms. And
they're all a team, all a part of it.
Yeah.
All part of it.
Yeah.
Hey, Randy, I think you and Monica should do the King and the Queen. I think you should go run for that.
Should do the King and Queen?
The King and Queen. What is it? They wear that. You wear the hats and you have to raise as much as you can.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what it's
We would love to have them.
Well, you know, we talk about real estate and giving back, but I know you mentioned there was, for a fact, one realtor, maybe more, who were involved this year, right? I mean, or at least obviously in the big picture, there's a lot of people in the real estate industry involved. But for the King and Queen, wasn't there one that was in the running there?
Well, actually, a couple of them were supported by real estate companies here in the community.
Yeah.
But one of them is one of the top realtors in Paradise. Century 21 Select is her company, but every single year they sponsor a queen candidate, and it's just amazing. It's wonderful. It's great exposure for that company. It's great teamwork for those team. You know, they're all working. The realtors that work within her company are coming together to help her raise boats in a very creative ways, and they're giving back to the community altogether. It's been great.
Such a win-win all the way around.
Yes.
You know.
Well, when we talk about...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I tying it back into the real estate industry, but this really, if you are an agent and you're kind of maybe just starting out or whatever, and you're like, how do I get leads, how do I connect? And, you know, there's all the typical avenues of doing that, of course, in a given community. And, of course, at realtyuniversal.com, lots more of that information on a global level. But in terms of a community, coming up with a couple of creative things like this where, you know, you would go to somebody like a Debbie, right? If somebody were to come to you and say, like, you know, you're open to other ideas. And so if a realtor or somebody would come and say, hey, I've got this idea about the tour to chocolate. What do you think? And, you know, boom, they're in. All of a sudden, they're really working side by side with something that makes a big difference in a community. And they naturally connect with other people.
You know,
and there you go.
I just thought about it. Oh, go ahead.
No, there you go.
Debbie, I was going to ask you a question. If somebody did want to do that and they were in another locale, is there a way that they could kind of set that up with the I mean, that, is that not that's true?
Absolutely. We haven't had anyone venture from outside of Paradise, but anyone could do that. And we are very creative in ways that we are giving good exposure to that company or promoting that company. For instance, when Century 21 Select, they do it because they love it and have a great time, but it's
right.
certainly benefiting their business. That candidate is wearing either a sash or a badge from February through March or May, everywhere they go, with Century 21 Select and the ChocoFest logo on it. And it's a great, big, beautiful, colorful ribbon that they're wearing. They're getting their company logo on our website, posters, programs, newspaper articles. There's just, it's great exposure for their company. Sometimes they're invited onto a radio program to not only talk about the Chocolate Fest, but talk about their company as well. So it's a great promotional value for those individuals and those companies.
What if they wanted to do it in their town? What if it's somebody, you know, they're in Iowa or something, and they say, hey, this would be perfect for our town.
Here we go.
Would you say you could, I mean, they could work through you all to do it, or that's just would be...
Absolutely. You know, I'm an independent contractor.
Okay.
So,
awesome.
But the ChocoFest, and ChocoFest is very supportive of the projects that I take on. But, you know, another community recently asked, and they're very, very close to Chico and Paradise, you know, can we do a ChocoFest over here? And they're 20 miles away. And I said, well, you know, your industry is peaches. Wouldn't it make sense to do a peach festival instead of a chocolate festival, but using those same
great
organizational
idea.
Skills, you know, and the model that we have continually fine-tuned. There are opportunities to build events. And just like when I was in Southern California, all of a sudden, City of Hope needed hospital. The surf industry was available to me, and I'm thinking, how do I get all of these surf industry people? So that's not only surf, but skateboard, wakeboarding, volleyball, all those people in the industry. How do I bring them together and raise money for City of Hope Hospital? Well, the local huge water park was the perfect venue for that. Because they had a sand volleyball lot, and they had a wave machine, and we built ramps out there for skateboarders. We had a blast by doing an outrageous beach party at Raging Waters, you know, and
what
raising
a whole lot
of money.
Wow.
And getting the radio stations involved and the TV, they were all out there because it was a lot of fun, a lot of energy where the entire community could have fun, and it wasn't just skate related. It was skate and volleyball and, you know, all those other activities all in one day under one big dome.
Mm.
And that's,
that's
Randy amazing. And I've talked about this. Whenever you're going to do something, you need to do it right. You need to appeal to as many people as possible. You need to make sure that it's top notch quality or don't do it at all. And by getting those leaders from any community involved, it's how you make that happen.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. How much time, though? You know, my business mind's always, Randy, I know, gets down to that. Like, but how much time? Like, say a community says, we want to do this and we want your... Do they need to plan 2 months ahead, 6 months, a year? Is that the type
a
of...
A year.
It sounds
at
like
least
you would
a
need
year.
Quite a while. Okay.
Yeah. In order to do it right, there have been a few times where someone says, okay, we want to do this, we want to do it right now. And all of a sudden, you've got to rally the troops. But, you know, Natalie, you mentioned volunteer force. That's the number one key of making an event successful, because you need good teams of volunteers out there to make it actually happen the day of the event and leading up to those days before the event. But, you know, with great communication and organization, you can do amazing projects, you know, in 6 months to a year.
Mm. I love it.
Yeah, I say the Chocolate Fest World Tour. Let's just
Maui Surf one, though. I like that, too, the surf, the chocolate there, and then in the other. I could just, but I could, yeah, it's just such a great system. It sounds like you have set up, you know, the way it's, and all fun. It just makes such a difference, too, rather than saying, okay, you know, for people, give us, let's get donations and this, it, you know, even though we would love everybody to do that, people don't just always do that.
Well, you know, there are only so many silent auctions that you can do. And I've done a lot of silent auctions, and I continue to do. But then you're going back to the same business owners, asking them to donate. And when instead you create a really fun environment.
I love it.
And, you know, I've got to be honest, this goes against everything that many people in the nonprofit world will tell you. They'll tell you it's much easier to find people with a whole lot of money, and in 10 minutes you can ask them to write a check, and they probably will or won't. And so they say, why wouldn't you just go out and ask someone to write a large check and give it to your organization rather than spending months and months and months putting together a special event? In my world, it's more fun, it's more rewarding, and more people ultimately benefit when you're doing that special event. And you're walking away feeling great about it.
Oh, my gosh. You're touching so many lives, so many people on so many different levels. And just the difference you're making, you know, even in the kids that get involved, that how their lives are going to, how they're going to handle things in the future. I mean, you just never, you're right. I think that, to me, that is, even though, I mean, somebody still has to ask for monies from certain people, right, on certain levels on things.
Right.
But it just sounds to me like you're exponentially, yeah, you're kind of exponentially getting out there and helping all these people. That's what we try to do, Randy knows about, with Realty Universal, but in a different level. And it seems so boring what we have to do, you know, to us. It seems, oh, this is boring, even though we know we're helping, but it would be nice to create fun. What you're doing is just incredible. And when it comes to babies and children, I mean, that's they're our futures. They're their futures, and it's just doesn't get any better than that. You know, I don't think you could put a dollar amount on what you're doing in that way. I just, my kudos to you, because that just means so much in so many forms, you know, that's going to carry on. So it's almost like planting those seeds and you're harvesting them right for the future.
Exactly.
I just think that's
just
amazing. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. We'd love to invite you as our guest to the Chocolate Fest, Natalie. Whether it's in Paradise or somewhere else.
What time of year is it?
Well, the Paradise Chocolate Fest is held each year the day before Mother's Day. So it's in May every year.
So it's in actually Paradise?
It's in Paradise, which is just, you know, 15 minutes up the road from Chico, California, which is 90 miles from Sacramento. So, you know, we're off the beaten path a little bit, but it's a beautiful, beautiful region.
Okay, so how about next year? Is it always the day before Mother's Day?
It's always the day before Mother's Day.
I'm going to put it on my calendar then.
This next year is Saturday, May the 7th. And we already, you know what? I will mail you a postcard. We already have our postcards, and they have a map on how to get to Paradise on the back of the postcard.
Wow. I love it. I love it.
Just find the Skyway and head that way, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good time. Yeah.
I love, too, what you said about, I think, this is the beauty of a show like this, is the synergy of kind of like-minded. This is almost a mastermind group more than a radio interview, because I knew that Debbie, you and Natalie, you know, would kind of connect, because we're all similar in that regard, you know, wanting to give back, looking for creative ways. And when you mentioned that company is 20 minutes away and you said, well, why don't you guys do a peach festival? You see,
brilliant.
I think a lot of times people, so you adapt it to your region. You could do it, you know, the Fish Fest in Seattle, right? It could be whatever it is, but taking the template and, you know, and I don't know, well, if you're an independent contractor, I guess the franchise thing, I don't know how you work the franchise thing, but I mean, I could just see this thing just, you know, because you've got this track record and the model, and you've made the mistakes, right? So somebody, you know, you can
hopefully
offer
not
to somebody
too many.
Well, I mean,
but you know,
we sharpen. Yeah.
We every year we learn, every year we fine tune, and continue to create and continue to build those relationships. That's the key. And I've got to tell you, I don't have any children of my own. I have some bonus kids that I adore.
Aww.
But I've never been, you know, had my own. And I live 20 miles down the hill from Paradise. And there have been people over the years that have said, you know, why do you get involved? Why do you want to help Paradise? Because it's the right thing to do. and they need the help, and there's a lot of opportunity, and there's a ton of community members that are so passionate about doing it, and they just need someone that will come in and coordinate the big picture and keep it all together, because it's big. Randy, you know that. It's with so many events going on over 2 weeks, it's a lot of moving parts, but that's a lot of fun.
I only you know, got to go to the 1 day event, and I know there were events the night before, the wine. What is that again? The Friday night is chocolate and wine?
It's the evening of chocolate, wine, food, and brew. And we are so fortunate because Guitar Chocolate Company, which is a major international chocolatier, they have supported the Chocolate Fest from the very beginning, and they send their experts up from San Francisco to pair their chocolate with all the different wineries that are participating. And now they're starting to pair their chocolate with the breweries, too. Our breweries are catching on. And we've had a brewery this year, High Water Brewing Company, that makes it was called Campfire Stout, which tastes like s'mores. So, I mean, just...
Really?
Yes, and participating. So we have something for everyone at the Chocolate Festival itself, because it's a pretty, a family-friendly event. We don't have alcohol at the Chocolate Fest, but we have the evening of chocolate and wine the night before, and, you know, with over 3 dozen wineries and breweries and artisan food vendors coming together to give out samples, and people having just a great time and raising a lot of money at that event, too. So... there's a lot.
Chocolate, amazing. Wine, food, and brew.
Yes.
The four main food groups.
And throw in some good music, too. Throw in a lot of good music.
Wow.
Oh, you know, wanted to say that was a big part of the day that I was surprised about, to be honest with you, just because, and again, 35 years in radio, I can be kind of a music snob if, somebody says, oh, this local band's playing and they're really good. I'm like, uh-huh. And I'm telling you, they were really the Backyard Boys.
Backyard Boys were phenomenal. We had 17 musicians on stage at one time playing horns and drums.
Oh, wow.
Everything you can imagine. And they were amazing, top-notch. And, you know, Randy... you know, one of those guys is a backup player for Santana, and, you know, we've had a musician from Southern California coming up to play as a part of the Backyard Boys this year. People are wanting to come and play music at the Chocolate Fest. It's so much fun, and we don't pay them a dime.
That's fantastic.
So,
wow.
That makes it really special, too. I'd love to invite
so
the Backyard Boys to Maui. What do you think about that, Randy?
I think on Maui you got plenty of locals that would love it too. But
just music all day.
Awesome.
Well, and you know, that's another thing you mentioned, not just the Backyard Boys, but we had 5 additional bands playing that day. So the more music you can move in and out of there, it's just fun. It keeps the energy really high.
It does. I noticed that because you know there's a tendency. You know, it's a warm spring day. You know, you've had some fun stuff in the morning. Everybody's kind of been around. You want to keep people there. And the music, I saw that the music really kept people there.
Yes.
Because people were dancing, and there was just this great energy. And so you've got this energy of giving back, and then you've got the music, and then chocolate, and then, you know, more chocolate.
Oh.
And it's a beautiful thing.
It's just such a
and
such
great
a
art. We had art in the park was a huge component to the success of the Chocolate Fest. People love art of all kinds, whether it's visual or performing artists. So.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing hour. It flew by.
Keep the communities going, and just it got me motivated. You have me very, very. It's just such a warm, wonderful all the way around. Really motivates your spirit.
Huh. Very creative.
Amazing.
That's what I love about it. It's creative on so many levels. It's giving back on so many levels. Yeah.
And I love what your radio station is doing by reaching out to untold millions, giving them the opportunity to learn more about what your values are and what your visions are. Natalie, I just, applaud you both for bringing something new to your audience every week and giving them... it's a pause to think and get, you know, start scratching their creative juices too. So I think that's terrific.
Yes.
Thank you very
much. Awesome.
Gosh, the time goes by so fast. We have about 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Yep.
Flew by.
Thanks, Debbie.
Well,
thanks
maybe
for joining
we'll have
us.
To do this again over a round table.
Yes.
I would love to.
Yes.
And I would love to too. I have to figure out how far is Chico Randy from Las Vegas? I'm in Hawaii, usually in Nevada right now. Is it really?
You're
what's
about
a short drive?
And a half flight.
Oh, a short flight.
Flight.
I thought you said short drive.
Yeah.
Oh, that's close. That's really close.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Probably
yeah.
About a 10 to 12 hour drive.
And I'm on the islands
Debbie?
Most of the time, and then I'm in the mainland for a while. So cool. This is awesome.
Well,
yeah.
And I spend some time in Hawaii, and I know Randy does too. So somewhere between here and there, I'm sure
we'll
could
do it.
Work something out.
Absolutely. Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be a blast.
Yeah.
So,
thanks, Debbie.
Yeah. You know, to everyone on, this is Debbie LaPlante Mosley has been our guest, and the website is chocolatefest.us, and it's been wonderful. Yeah.
Yummy.
Just, So thank you, and we'll talk to you soon. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.